mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, for as long as there have been kids, there has been peer pressure to do things that are unhealthy and even dangerous for this generation. One of the most serious concerns is about teen vaping. Also this morning, today's Silent Watch, downtown in front of the Hancock County Courthouse, is a powerful and visible reminder about the tragedy of veteran suicide. And in our Throwback Thursday segment this morning, Silent Watch co-founder Michelle Hawks shares the story of the organization and the work they do to support the mental health needs of vets and their loved ones. And the Findlay YMCA is getting ready to break ground on their new state-of-the-art early learning center. We'll get details. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, September 5th, 2024. So week one of the NFL season kicks off tonight, Thursday night football. The defending champion Kansas City Chiefs begin their quest for a three-peat when Lamar Jackson and the Ravens visit Arrowhead Stadium. Then we roll right into the first regular season game on a Friday night since 1970. That's the last time the NFL played on a Friday night, infringing on the Friday night lights. But this is a special game, Eagles and the Packers, in the league's first ever game from Brazil. And then the traditional Sunday slate features the Steelers and Falcons, the Jaguars and the Dolphins, the Cowboys and the Browns, and the nightcap showcases a battle between the Rams and the Lions in Detroit. And the week wraps up with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets facing the reigning NFC champion San Francisco 49ers at Levi's Stadium on Monday Night Football. So that's kind of the highlights of the schedule. Week number one, it all begins tonight, and we have it for you on WFIN, the Chiefs and the Ravens. By the way, speaking of NFL football, this is really cool news. Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin will be in the starting lineup for the season opener against the Arizona Cardinals. That will be his first start since he suffered cardiac arrest on the field during that Monday Night Football game in January of last year. Head coach Sean McDermott made the announcement yesterday, saying he is extremely proud and full of gratitude to watch Damar Hamlin go through what he has gone through to get where he is now. So he will get the start on Sunday for the Bills. Be cheering for Damar Hamlin, and I hope he has a fabulous game in his return, his first start since that scary, scary incident all those many months ago. Let's see here. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started. Speaking of sports, apparently the city of Cleveland is going to be making a bid to host the 2030 Special Olympics. That's kind of cool. The Greater Cleveland Sports Commission announced yesterday that they have entered the bidding process, saying that hosting the eight-day event would likely bring more than $70 million to the local economy, and the bid is due next month. So Cleveland could be home to the 2030 Special Olympics. That is really cool. Let's see. I thought this was interesting. It's one of those things that make you go, A story that is certainly one of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. A new study published in the journal Nature Aging has revealed that human beings age in waves. Now, if you're waking up this morning and you feel very old, it may not just be your imagination. While most people tend to think aging happens slowly over time, right? Not true. Scientists at Stanford have found that the process speeds up at certain points in our lives and slows down at others. Slowing metabolism, wrinkling skin, and proneness to disease all peak between the ages of 44 and 60. And Dr. Michael Snyder from Stanford University, as part of this study, says people assume that everybody's kind of aging gradually, and it turns out that most changes are not linear. Most of the changes that we associate with aging are not linear. Researchers gathered data from 108 people between the ages of 25 and 75 years old over a period of nearly 2 years for their study. So not a huge sample size, but it's interesting nonetheless. And along those same lines, I saw this item right next to that item on the Newswire this morning, and they kind of go hand in hand. We talk about aging and that old saying that you're only as young as you feel, right? Well, according to research from the Kinsey Institute, Gen Zers and baby boomers are having the same amount of sex. Yeah. Aging is not linear, as it turns out. We don't all age the same way. Gen Zers and boomers having the same amount of sex. Both do the deed about 3 times per month on average, according to this research from the Kinsey Institute. Millennials and Gen Xers, by comparison, get busy with it about 5 times a month. So not that much different, but a little bit more than Gen Zers and boomers, which I thought was kind of interesting. Again, it just goes back to the saying you're only as old as you feel. They apparently have some research that proves that. Let's see. Waking up this morning, ready to have breakfast before you head out the door this morning. It is the most important meal of the day. If you are, you know, a little bored with your breakfast options, might want to check this out. Hormel, teaming with General Mills to create a new twist on breakfast cereal. The company has announced this week that they have joined forces to create, are you ready for this? Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bacon. Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bacon. It'll be out the middle of this month, combining the cinnamon coating from Cinnamon Toast Crunch with Hormel's Black Label Bacon. So is this bacon? I'm a little confused. Is this a cereal with the bacon in it, the bacon added? Or is it the bacon with the cereal flavoring added? At first, I thought it was the former, but now that I look at it again, I'm thinking that this is the latter. It's bacon with a coating of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal flavoring. So, whatever it is, it will be sold at selected Walmart and Kroger stores beginning September 16th. So, we'll definitely watch for that. Cinnamon Toast Crunch bacon. I don't think you can improve on bacon. I really don't. Now, you could add bacon to Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. I think that would be, maybe that's why I was thinking that's what they were doing. Because bacon makes everything better. I'm not sure that you can really necessarily improve on bacon itself. But that's what they're going to try, apparently. And here is something kind of interesting as lastly here, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Maybe you don't even have to worry about breakfast at all if you're not working the traditional 9-to-5 schedule. If you still are, you may have noticed that your commute has been different lately. If you're working the regular 9-to-5. According to the traffic analysts at INRIX, the new normal is no longer 9-to-5, it's 10-to-4. They just released their 2023 Global Traffic Scorecard, which reveals that the traditional 9-to-5 workday is about as outdated as the VCR these days. They look at traffic patterns for 900 cities across the globe. 900 global cities, and they're comparing pre-pandemic traffic patterns to post-pandemic traffic patterns. They find the changes in work habits and flexible schedules have altered when and how we get to and from work, if we go to the office at all. According to the author of the report, transportation analyst Bob Pishua, speaking with CNBC, there is less of a morning commute, less of an evening commute, and much more afternoon activity. He calls it the new normal. They noted a pattern of a midday rush hour. I think the morning rush hour, the evening rush hour. Now we have a midday rush hour as workers pop into the office right around noon. And there is as much traffic in the middle of the day as there is between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. According to a survey from video conference company Owl Labs, kind of confirms the INRIX data, 58% of hybrid employees swipe in at the office and then almost immediately check out. They call it coffee badging. You just check in, check out to say you were there. The report also details that public transportation use has cratered during the pandemic and still has not recovered. Instead, there has been a boom in micromobility travel, which is the name they give to people who commute to work on e-bikes, electric bikes, and e-scooters, and things like that. Now, obviously, this would be much more popular in big urban centers where you can do that. I don't think there are too many people using e-scooters to get to work in Findlay, Ohio, but you get the idea. The scorecard notes that New York City tops all major cities in terms of traffic delays. People lose 101 hours to traffic delays each year. Well, that was in 2023. They lost 101 hours to traffic delays. So in that sense, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Paris logged a close second with 99 hours lost to traffic delays. Just kind of interesting that apparently the old 9-to-5 is not such a big thing anymore, I guess. So there you go, some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Sunny skies expected again today with a high in the upper 80s, partly cloudy tonight, a low in the middle 60s. The Findlay Police Department says with the closure of Rite Aid stores across the state and prescriptions being transferred to other stores, scammers are seeing this as an opportunity to try and steal your personal information. The police department says scammers are calling people claiming to be representatives with other pharmacies and offering to help with the transition between stores. Then they ask for your personal information, such as date of birth, social security number, and Medicare number. They then use this information to steal your identity. The police department advises people who receive such a call to decline to answer the questions and simply hang up. However, if you feel the call may be legitimate, you can contact the pharmacy yourself at a trusted number or in person. Get more on the scam in this story on our website. The governor says his juvenile justice working group has given him a list of 26 recommendations to improve the state and local juvenile justice systems.
The top recommendation of the group falls under the premise that smaller is better. The governor said studies show smaller juvenile corrections facilities are safer for the youth and the staff. The plan calls for the Department of Youth Services to close its three large facilities and replace them with a total of 12 smaller 36-bed facilities.
ONN's Doug Petcash reporting. The Ohio State Highway Patrol says 15 people lost their lives in 15 traffic crashes over the Labor Day reporting period, which is a 37.5% decrease in fatal crashes compared to last year's Labor Day weekend. Of the fatal crashes, six were OVI-related and seven of the crash victims were unbelted. Troopers provided assistance to more than 1,800 motorists over the Labor Day weekend. See the full rundown of statistics in the story on our website. The Marathon Center for the Performing Arts says it's making it easier to register for classes, camps, workshops, and more with their brand new registration software. Get more details in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, now that all the area schools are back in session, I want to talk this morning about the age-old issue of dealing with peer pressure. Same pressures that we all felt when we were that age to try and fit in by doing what the other kids are doing. has always had potentially serious consequences, and the same is true today. Specifically, we're talking about the more than 2 million kids that are currently using e-cigarettes, and the numbers in Ohio that are around twice that national average. Dr. Jamie Rutland joins us this morning on behalf of the American Lung Association. Dr. Rutland, like I mentioned, this is not new. I mean, we face the same pressures when we were kids. The difference today is the delivery mechanism in this case, vaping versus smoking, but it's still the same dangers.
Yeah. You know, again, when you look at vaping, first of all, the number one priority here at the Ad Council and the American Lung Association, what we're trying to launch is we're launching a campaign that's going to highlight parents as the best people to talk to their kids about the dangers of vaping. We know that vaping has been around since 2003, but when you look at the numbers of vaping amongst middle school and high school students, the numbers had been on the rise and they continue to be on the rise. And what it does is it introduces smoking to this population.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want our parents to be able to talk to our kids. And if you go to talkaboutvaping.org, you can find information on how to approach this conversation.
You know, it's such an important message, this campaign, because sometimes as parents, we think that our kids just don't pay attention to what we have to say, especially, you know, dealing with all of those peer pressure issues that we were referencing and so on. But again, that message that parents are, in fact, the best teachers.
Parents are the best teachers. And, you know, when you look and you're talking to your kids, and I've got a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old daughter, right? So they're like prime for this campaign. When I'm talking to my kids, the one thing that they really, really respect and that they want you to know about them is they want to be independent. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking to your kids about vaping, you want to acknowledge their independence. You want to tell them, hey, you listen, I'm proud of you. You make great decisions. You know, what do you think about vaping? Ask them these open-ended questions and let them talk. And then respond appropriately with respect. Just be able to let them know that you're proud of them. Be able to inform them and not blame them for vaping. Talk to them about, hey, listen, this isn't your fault, right? There's different flavors of vaping because the industry is targeting you. But I want you to understand this so that you can take this information and apply it to your life. But not only that, so you can apply it to your friends and let them know the same.
Why is it that this has become such a trend, such a popular trend? Again, we mentioned in Ohio, the numbers are like twice the national average. So in our state, it's even more of a problem than it is nationwide. Why is that? What are the theories behind why this has become such an issue after many, many years of the trends going in the right direction when it comes to teen tobacco use?
Yeah, you know, the childhood answer is, well, it's the cool thing to do, and that's what people are doing these days, so everybody's doing it.
The peer pressure thing, yeah.
Right, the peer pressure. But the real answer is successful marketing from big tobacco, right? They're really good at marketing, and what they've done is they've created this industry that has allowed multiple flavors to be introduced. Mm-hmm. And so kids like sugar. They like things that taste good. So when you have cinnamon and strawberry and watermelon and all these flavors that you get right away in combination with the nicotine so that these kids can become addicted, right? You're creating big business, but you're also creating a huge problem. And that's what we see.
What about I want to have you speak to both the youth and the parents who may not understand fully the dangers and the health effects that we're talking about here? I mean, it's, yeah, they're not smoking tobacco. So is it really that bad of an alternative?
You know, one of the organs that's often forgotten about because we don't really see it is the lung, right? Every breath that you take, you are snatching your environment and you're introducing it to the inside of your body. In other words, your lung is constantly exposed to different molecules in the air. Mm-hmm. Air pollution is bad for you. So when you inhale air on a bad day, it affects the inflammatory capabilities of your body. The inflammation goes up and that causes problems with you. People that live in areas of high air pollution have higher rates of heart attack and stroke and all of these inflammatory associated conditions. When you look at vaping, it's simply concentrated pollution, right? So you're inhaling metal, you're inhaling liquid. And when you inhale a vape pen, you inhale for about 4 to 5 seconds. And when you inhale for that 4 to 5 seconds, you're creating a different level of power. So you can create different molecules. And most of these molecules actually end up being carcinogenic. That is, they can induce your cells to become cancerous. Not only that, but you also have inflammation that's associated with vaping. So every time you vape, you are stimulating the blood cells in your body, the white blood cells, the cells that fight infection, to be recruited into the lung area, causing inflammation. Now, at times, this inflammation can be in the balloons of your lungs. And at times, this inflammation can be in the pipes of your lungs. If it's in the pipes of your lungs, that's asthma, that's wheezing, that's coughing, shortness of breath. If it's in the balloons of your lungs, we call this interstitial lung disease or hypersensitivity, something called popcorn lung that people have heard before. And so these are the consequences of vaping. And there's even more consequences. We know that nicotine is bad for kids. We know that nicotine can cause brain damage when kids are developing. So all of these consequences are important for parents to understand.
Yeah, and especially, so I mean, bad enough for everyone, especially for developing youth whose bodies are you know, still growing and so on. We mentioned this rate in Ohio, twice the national average, so it's like 20%. 1 in 5, which was an alarming number when I saw that. What are the signs that parents should look for to know whether their child has been experimenting with this?
I think that's a great question. Again, I'm a parent, right? So in my house and the kids that live under my roof, it's kind of my rules. So the room that they have is my room. It's not their room. They're just, they get to stay in that room. Right. So I will go in the room and I will search their backpack and I will go through their things because I want to see, do they have a vape pen? The other thing is I look at their friends. Who are they hanging out with, right? Are these kids vaping, right? Are the, what are these kids doing? And so the signs of vaping for me are if you feel like your child is trying to hide something, if your child's friends vape or have experimented with vaping, odds are your child's been exposed and may have experimented themselves. And so again, if you're thinking that way, I think it's important for us to use these conversation techniques that are taught very well on talkaboutvaping.org. In fact, when you go to talkaboutvaping.org, there is actually a conversation guide that you can download and email to yourself. It has all sorts of tips on how to start the conversation with your child. And that's what I found the most useful. Again, yes, I do this. Yes, I understand the consequences of lung disease. I understand what leads to lung disease, but I'm also a dad. Yeah. Right. And I got to be able to talk to my kids. And this provided some great information on that at talkaboutvaping.org.
Again, talking about the latest campaign, You're the Best Person to Talk to Your Kids, Combating the Dangers of Teenage Vaping. Dr. Jamie Rutland this morning on behalf of the American Lung Association. We will have a link to the website that you referenced for all of those resources. It is such an important topic for all parents to be aware of and to address with their kids. Regardless of age, I mean, you know, again, this is the other thing. We're not just talking about high school kids or even middle school kids. We're talking kids of all ages here.
Yeah, we're talking adults. We're talking kids. Again, the industry wants to introduce nicotine early to get people addicted so they use it their entire life. But you can stop this at any point in time. And so I think anyone that wants to listen to the damages that can happen to your lung and to your body as a result of vaping, please listen. You know, there's also a common misconception that good people or even good kids don't vape, and that's not really the case, right? Yeah. We have to understand the consequences of vaping. We have to understand the physiology of the lung and how it works, and we have to understand how to have a conversation with our kids and with our peers about vaping so that people can understand how to stop.
Dr. Jamie Rutland, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
If you happen to be driving by the Hancock County Courthouse today, it'd be hard to miss the Silent Watch, which is a powerful and visible reminder about the tragedy of veteran suicide. It's happening today downtown. Leah Cook, Alan Cramp Wealth Management, joins us this morning as the event is about to get underway. And Leah, thanks very much for taking the time this morning. So this is So this is happening from 7 to 5, right? It's a 10-hour event there in front of the Hancock County Courthouse. Explain what this is and how it works for the benefit of those who might not already know, be driving by and saying, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me as well. So we're out here from 7, actually, until 5:30 today.
Okay.
And we'll be standing in 22-minute increments, and the 22 is representative of the 22 lives that are lost due to suicide each day. So that comes to a loss about every 65 minutes. We have 22 photographs out here, as well as 22 pair of boots to memorialize those who have experienced death by suicide and also provide hope. And we have Veteran Service Office out here as well for any resources that one might need.
And the idea is to put, we talk about that statistic of 22 veterans a day, and I've heard various estimates on this. Some put the number a little bit lower, some actually put a little bit higher, but the generally accepted number is 22 a day, which is, I guess, less important than the idea of putting faces and names to the statistics. These are not just numbers. They are actual human beings. They are true American heroes who are impacted by this, along with their friends and family.
Absolutely. And we have at least, I would say, six photographs of those locally.
Yeah.
Out of the 22. So it's devastating. And we just hope that we're able to provide a resource for those who are in need. There, we are raising funds for the Silent Watch itself. They provide SGB injections, which help with the overall fight or flight symptoms. And if individuals would like more information on that, they can visit silentwatch.org.
And speaking of the idea of putting a face and a name to these statistics, this is actually how Alan Cramp Wealth Management really got involved with the Silent Watch organization and how this event came to be. This is the third year for it now here locally, because this is a personal cause for you folks.
Yes. So we experienced this great loss of Gavin Smith in November of 21, shortly after Veterans Day itself. And Gavin was near and dear to our firm and just wanted to find a way to honor him as well as the rest of our fellow fallen.
So you've got a number of people who have stepped up to stand watch in those 22-minute intervals throughout the day. It's really, I guess, got to be very heartening to see how the community has responded to this.
Oh, absolutely. And although we do have those that are signed up, we welcome if you're on your lunch break or driving by this morning or even at the end of the day, we welcome you to come and stand. You do not need to sign up. We just love to see all the support, hear the stories, get to know our community better, and provide a helpful resource.
I was going to mention you still do have opportunities for those to join in and stand watch and take about 22 minutes of their day to pay tribute and honor those who have been lost. And as you mentioned, ultimately the idea is to highlight the fact that there are resources available for those who may be struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't want it to be a taboo topic anymore. If you're in need of any type of help, we encourage you to please come out today, but not only today. The Veterans Service Office here in Hancock County is wonderful. Nicole Coleman and her team are out here all day today providing those resources, but if anybody needs help, absolutely, they're available anytime.
And again, it's one thing to talk about this on the radio and to recite the statistics and say there are resources that are available to help. But that visual, that very powerful sight right there in the center of town, in the heart of downtown, really drives the point home.
Yeah, it's very moving. We do have a flag-draped casket out here provided by Cauldron Crates. Thank you to them so much because it does provide just an impactful visual cue of what's going on. And then our closing ceremonies today will be around 5:25, 5:30, where we will have a final roll call, taps, and a verse of Amazing Grace. Mm.
So a 10.5-hour event going on today in front of the Hancock County Courthouse. Again, if you happen to pass by, now you know what's going on and why it is so important. We have a link up on our webpage for more information. Again, Leah Cook from Allen Cramp Wealth Management with us this morning. We'll let you go because I know you're getting ready for the opening ceremony here in just a few minutes, but we encourage people to drop by and show their support. Leah, thanks very much for taking some time for us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and God is good. Thank you.
So I want to mention, originally in this segment of the program, we were scheduled to speak with Cheryl Larbus from Ghost Town about a couple of family-friendly events that they have coming up this weekend and next out there. Ghost Town, just south of Findlay, you know where it is. Unfortunately, Cheryl's unable to join us this morning due to a last-minute family issue, so wish her and her family the best, obviously. But I still want to highlight these events. The first one coming up on Saturday, it is a free Christian music concert, Consumed by Fire, will be live at Ghost Town. It'll be Saturday. The doors open at 5. There'll be a local praise and worship band beginning at 6, and then Consumed by Fire will follow. They'll have food trucks. It's going to be a really good time. Bring your lawn chairs. Again, free admission. That happening this Saturday. And then next weekend, it's Johnny Appleseed Days. The 14th, next Saturday, September 14th, 9 to 5, Sunday, from 1 to 5, the 15th. They'll have crafts and vendors and kids' apple games, it says here, Amish fry pies, an apple pie contest. Amish fry pies? Man, those are good. Climbing wall, bounce house, food and live music and more. Admission is $5. Seniors and military members, $4 admission. And kids get in free with a paid adult. Kids under 2 are all free. And we have left the link up on our website for more information on those events. You will want to circle those dates on your calendar to be sure. So just wanted to highlight that. Again, unfortunately, Cheryl unable to be with us this morning. So instead, we want to mention this in this segment of the program. We were talking earlier about the Silent Watch event that is going on through the day in front of the Hancock County Courthouse downtown, a somber and powerful reminder about the tragedy of veteran suicide. Well, Silent Watch is actually more than just the name of an event to remember those who have lost the battle with their personal demons. It is the name of an organization. It is an organization founded in Ashland, Ohio, incidentally, dedicated to raising awareness and providing mental health support for vets at risk, along with their loved ones. And back in September of 2022, we spoke with Silent Watch co-founder Michelle Hawks about their mission. It is today's Throwback Thursday. Give us a little background about Silent Watch and how it came to be.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. So Silent Watch actually started back in 2007, 2008, when our president was overseas. They hosted a Silent Watch that was 24 hours long, and they stood for 30-minute rotations. When he came back home, two of his airbase buddies, brothers, committed suicide in 2008 right here in Mansfield at the 179th. Mm. So he really decided he wanted to bring it home. I moved to Ohio in 2009, and I'm not a veteran, Chris. I'm just a plain Jane civilian.
Yeah.
But my brother committed suicide after he came home from deployment.
Mm.
So that's how I connected with our president back in 2009. So we stood for a couple years and just tried to raise awareness. We kind of went on with our lives, and it stopped for a little bit. But back in 2017, 2018, our president said, you know what, Michelle, we really got to revamp this. So that's where we became official, Chris. That's when we got trademarked and logoed and official. We have three kind of activities that we try to promote. So we first raise awareness. Our silent watches are now through the month of September. That's become Suicide Prevention Month.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's known as.
Right.
So we raise awareness. We have an in-your-face event that we call Silent Watches. We have volunteers stand for 20 to 25 minutes. throughout the course of the event, usually from 7 to 5. The second thing we do is we raise funds now. We found a treatment that really helps reduce PTSD symptoms. It's not a cure-all, but it really reduces. But the VA and insurance won't cover it, so yeah. We raised funds. That's the second thing. And then the third thing that Silent Watch as an organization does is we really provide support to families and friends who have lost a loved one through suicide.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about that treatment. As you mentioned, one of the ways that you support veterans suffering from PTSD and at risk of suicide is this treatment known as SGB, which is new enough and experimental enough for this purpose that it is not covered by either the VA or most insurance plans. Explain what this is.
Yeah, so SGB is the easy way to say stellate ganglion block. Now, I'm not a scientist or a doctor or a medical background, but 3 years ago, our president found it, and he was the first locally to go down and receive this injection. So it starts with an assessment, right? You have to take an assessment before the doctor will even see you. Mm-hmm. But this helps with the fight or flight movement, and it really helps decrease the symptoms of PTSD. The great thing about this injection, this treatment, is that it's instantaneous. Anyone that we've sent down and stories we've heard, they can find it and feel a difference, notice a difference before they even leave the doctor's office or before they even get home that night.
Wow.
It's long lasting. Our president received it 3 years ago. He's been a changed man since day one.
Now, to clarify a bit, SGB is not an experimental treatment per se, but treating PTSD is an off-label use, which is why it is not covered by most insurance. However, my understanding is that there is an initiative at Ohio State that is doing more research on this treatment as well, right?
Sure. We just actually sent some of our board members down to meet them and collaborate with them.
So in addition to raising awareness and raising funds and supporting those who have been impacted by this, as you mentioned, that's kind of the overarching mission of Silent Watch. The way I think that you're doing this is so very powerful, not only for its symbolism. It's hard to walk by or drive by this event and not notice and be touched by the symbolism of it. It is very, very powerful in that way. But I also think it is powerful in the way that it gives average people that sort of firsthand experience of standing watch for the fallen.
Sure. So like I said, my brother took his life back in 2008. And so even back then, it was a very taboo subject. Suicide in general was a very taboo subject.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, it took our family a long time to open up. So exactly, you want a bold in your face. Some people may be turned off because it does seem very bold. A lot of times we use a flag-draped casket.
Right.
Or military boots lined up. The host can use what they want. But we also have pictures of veterans who have committed suicide. And then this year, I started at my watches putting 22 empty frames in addition to the 22 pictured frames. And that's to represent, you know what, these empty frames will be filled tonight with new faces of veterans who decided and felt that the only relief they could get was to take their life. And so we really do want those bold in your face props so that the public will stop and recognize that this is happening. Our mission is to really decrease the number, doing what we can to decrease the number of 22 to 25 veterans a day who are taking their lives.
So how do folks help support the mission of Silent Watch? One of the things that you were doing, as we were talking about, is raising funds to help defray the cost for veterans and for first responders, incidentally, who desire to pursue this treatment that we were talking about. So how do folks help?
Sure. Well, we are always looking for hosts. Our mission, our goal is to be in all eight, have a watch in all 88 counties of Ohio. We had not 88 this year, but we're working towards that. We've also had some in New Hampshire, New York, Wisconsin, Mississippi. So we're not stuck just in Ohio either.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking for hosts. We're always looking for people to come to the events and help stand, take a 20-minute rotation throughout the duration of the day. And then we're also, again, collecting donations. We have some limited merchandise for sale, but we have a website, www.silentwatch.org.
In our conversation with Michelle Hawks, the co-founder of Silent Watch, which is based just down the road in Ashland, Ohio, from back in September of 2022, our Throwback Thursday this morning. Today's Silent Watch event happening in front of the Hancock County Courthouse from now until 5:30 this afternoon.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
We begin in Florida, of course, where Lance Green was arrested on charges of DUI in Volusia County last week. Mr. Green is accused of driving under the influence, crashing his truck into another vehicle at an intersection. What makes this story worthy of the broken news is that after the accident, Mr. Green attempted to swap seats with his passenger in an effort to portray her as the driver and not him, all while the police were there investigating the incident. So the cops get there, and then he tries to swap seats, as if the police are not going to notice the two of you climbing over each other in the car trying to switch seats. Genius there. Apparently, Mr. Green refused a field sobriety test, and he has been safely housed in the county lockup. They won't notice. We'll just crawl over each other and switch seats. Nobody will notice. Speaking of dumb criminals, not to be outdone, this from Brooklyn, New York. Police are looking for a suspect after a two-year-old was robbed. You heard that right. A two-year-old was robbed at a Brooklyn laundromat. Police say the toddler was approached by an adult female on Monday night, and the suspect snatched a necklace off the child's neck and took off. How low do you have to be to rob a two-year-old? I mean, come on. A two-year-old. Child was not hurt. Suspect remains at large. also in New York, a children's services worker has been arrested for allegedly submitting phony doctor's notes to his boss. I thought we gave this up in junior high school. Phony doctor's notes to his boss. Alan Anderson was assigned to commute into New York City from his home on Long Island 3 days a week, but he apparently didn't like that idea. And so, according to the Suffolk County District Attorney, Mr. Anderson submitted 12 forged doctor's notes for the Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays that he was assigned to work in person at the Children's Welfare Office in Manhattan, and he just didn't want to make the commute. I would imagine that they would get a little suspicious when the only days that you apparently were sick, so says the doctor, happened to be the same days that you're supposed to commute into the Manhattan office. The worker is charged with criminal possession of a forged instrument, falsifying business records, and official misconduct. Maybe we should update that story to say a former children's services worker in New York is accused of submitting phony doctor's notes. There's the story of Ed Williamson. Richmond, Virginia is the dateline on this story. Ed Williamson has a tree in his front yard that was split. He first noticed the split in the tree about a month ago, and he didn't want to take it down, so he came up with a novel idea to try and keep the tree from falling on his home or someone else's. He duct taped it. That's right. Wrapped duct tape around the trunk of the tree, holding it together. He admits it is a temporary fix, and it's not really a fix at all. He also posted a sign warning people not to park near the tree, but He says people have been disregarding the warning. He says eventually it's going to fall. The tape is only a temporary fix. He and his neighbor have already called the issue to the attention of the city of Richmond. But despite three requests, the city has yet to chop it down because I guess it's actually on city property. So he's duct taping it in the meantime. He says every day it comes out in the it's split a little bit more. He says for now, he just keeps applying more duct tape as needed. Speaking of trees falling on homes, I saw this story on the Newswire in Los Angeles. You know how the price of houses in Los Angeles is just astronomical. It's just out of this world. And now, according to the LA Times, there is a bungalow home in Monrovia, California, that is listed for a cool $500,000. The kicker is the home was crushed by a falling tree, and it's still for sale for $500,000. It's got to have half of a home for $500,000. The house, the listing notes, does not have any ceilings, and it is missing some walls, although it does have some rather homey loose wiring. The listing agent calls refers to it as an open concept floor plan. Yeah, that is an open concept floor plan. No ceilings and very few walls holding it up. It's an open concept, all right. The listing does note that the plumbing is still functional. The electricity is not, but the plumbing is still. So why would anyone want to buy such a property? Apparently, the destruction of the home falls under the Act of God category, which eliminates a number of restrictions that prospective buyers would need to go through in order to start a rebuild. So it's actually easier to rebuild this than it would be a regular home. And apparently the agent says there's been a lot of interest because demand for housing is so high and inventory, especially at this price point, is so low. It's only $499,999, so just a hair under a half mil. Can you imagine paying $500,000 for a half a house? But there you go. Couple of other items here in the broken news. If you are in the Seattle area and you happen to see a bird, a 5.5-foot bird running around loose, you may have found a family's missing emu. Rachel Cassidy of suburban Seattle tells local news reporters that two of her three emus escaped her yard over the weekend. One of them, the male, was found, but the female has not yet been located. Ms. Cassidy says she's like 5.5 feet tall when she stands up, so she's definitely not discreet. If you encounter said emu, the lost emu, she says the best thing would be to just rattle some food and coax her into your yard and then come call us so we can get her. Ms. Cassidy does say that getting her in the car is not fun, so I'm hoping that she's close by so we can get her back home with no problem. Yeah, 5.5-foot emu, kind of tough to get into the car, I would imagine. Yeah. And lastly, in the broken news this morning, this is such a cool story. An original Rembrandt, you know, the artist, the painter, Rembrandt, an original Rembrandt that was found in the attic of a home in Maine has now sold for over $1 million. An appraiser for the Thomaston Place Auction Galleries in Maine says he found the 17th century portrait of a young girl during a recent house call in Camden. The appraiser said the portrait was in remarkable condition despite its age and despite the fact that it was stuck in an attic for probably decades. It was mounted in a hand-carved gold frame. A label on the back of the frame said it was an original by the Dutch master. So how it ended up in this attic in Maine, who knows? The gallery auctioned off the Rembrandt a couple of weeks ago. A private collector from Europe bought it for over $1.4 million dollars. Why can't I ever find that in my, something like that in my attic? And I guess, you know, check your attic is the message there. There's today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Lance of OSU Extension. It's harvest season. Drivers will be sharing roads with combines and grain hauling vehicles. Please be alert, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this fall to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. You may remember the old George Carlin routine, a place for your stuff. He talked about our homes are just a place for our stuff. And we go out and we buy a new home because we have more stuff. We leave our homes to go and get more stuff to bring back to our home. If you have too much stuff in your home, you are not alone. You feel you've outgrown your space. According to a new survey of 2,000 adults, half of Americans believe that there is at least one room in their home that cannot be saved. It is so full with clutter, it cannot be saved. 34% of those in the survey feel cramped in their homes, and 17% say they are not satisfied with how much space they have. But what's interesting about this is the vast majority is not that they have outgrown their homes. 73% say that they knew that space was going to be an issue to begin with, but that they settled for their home knowing that it wasn't ideal for all of their stuff. 55% in the survey wish that they didn't have to get rid of items in order to make space in their homes, but they have to. The survey finds that some of the things that are most difficult, they say organizing the closet, 33% say organizing their closet is the toughest thing to do. 25% struggle with items that don't fit into the space that they have reserved for said items. And nearly as many, 24%, say finding room for items that don't have a designated area is a problem. The easiest rooms to organize are the living room. 28% say the living room is the easiest to organize. The bedroom, 27%, and 20% said the bathroom is the easiest to organize. Those are the easiest. The biggest challenge comes with organizing the kitchen. 21% say organizing the kitchen is a big challenge, and 13% say organizing their garage, which I don't know if we consider that a room in the home or not. But for some people, myself included, that's where we store a lot of our stuff, so we got to organize that. I thought this was interesting. 55% say they wish that they didn't have to get rid of items in order to make space in their homes. 17% are not satisfied with how much space they have. In order to feel like they have enough space, according to those in the survey, the average American wishes that they had three more rooms in their home. That's how many more rooms we would need. Three additional rooms just in order to handle all of our stuff. So I have to admit, my wife and I struggle with this, finding space for all of our stuff. We have considered downsizing. Now that the kids are gone and we're empty nesters and all that, maybe downsizing. We don't need this big two-story, three-bedroom home anymore. Maybe downsize. But then what will we do with our stuff? We don't have enough room right now. And again, getting rid of the stuff is tough. So the struggle is real. With us in the studio this morning, the Findlay YMCA, Stephanie Parsons and Carrie Redmond. And these are ladies that have had their caffeine this morning, I think. You guys are, you seem like you're very energetic and ready to go.
We're ready to go. I did warn people that I might sing here today, so we'll hopefully not have that happen.
I think I'm three
cups. What has gotten into you?
We work with kids, you know? It's a fun job.
Talking about things that are going on at the Findlay YMCA, a very busy time. You've got the Black Swamp Classic Golf Scramble that is coming up here in just about a week and a half. And there are still a couple of slots open if folks are interested.
So it is on the September 16th and 17th, Monday, Tuesday. Always a great time, great event. Talking about people that have lots of caffeine that morning. we only have, it's really selling out fast this year. And so we only have two available spots.
Okay.
It's held at the Country Club. And then we have a live auction on Monday night that really is energized. All things about the YMCA and the Braden Kramer Foundation. It's just a great event.
And so how do folks sign up for that?
You can go to our website.
Okay.
And there's a link there that you can go ahead and sign up. Or you can just contact Sierra Hutton at the Findlay YMCA.
Okay, too. Very good. Get that done because just a couple of slots left if you want to participate. It'll be a really good time. Getting things going with childcare, the YABS program, you know, all of that
all
now up
things,
and running in September with the kids back in school.
All things childcare. Most excitingly is our groundbreaking for the new... Do you want to wait for me to talk about that?
Well, I want to talk about that. Obviously, that's the big thing coming up. But you're already underway places at the remote locations, like Corey Rawson.
We have, we have childcare in Corey Rawson's school, and it's infant through school age. So if they have children who want to come sign up, we have spaces available. We do have spaces available. The most exciting thing that's happening there is if a child needs subsidized care, meaning if they need some support with their tuition, we now have that as an opportunity for families, so they can sign up for that as well.
And again, can folks do that on the website, sign up and
they
learn
can
more about
contact the director through the website to get a visit and go see the center. And
then
for the subsidized care, they do that through the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services.
And the YABS program getting back underway.
Yeah, it's going great. This morning I got pictures of all the fun things that are happening there today. They key me into all the fun things. But yeah, it's up live and well and doing great at the Chamberlain Hill primary and also Wilson Vance. So
and
going
that's
great.
The after and before school sessions.
With Findlay City Schools.
For those that aren't familiar with the way that works.
Yeah, it is. The before and after school sessions. Yes.
So, terrific stuff. Now, we mentioned the big event that is coming up. And this is what, on Monday, right?
It's Monday.
I know you're really excited about this.
Yes.
The groundbreaking on this new state-of-the-art early learning center.
Absolutely. You know, I want to thank so many people. There's just tons of energy around this event too. Lots of persistence. As you know, we've been at this for quite some time. And the day has come. September the 9th at 10 a.m. We'll be out back of the downtown YMCA, where that's where the new build will go. Everyone's invited. We already have about 50 people RSVP'd. As you know, this is just a huge benefit for our community. There, and Carrie can talk more about this. It's a Northwest Ohio desert, and so this is going to help that.
Yeah, child care desert is how we've termed this.
Yeah, that's the coin term that they use, saying that we just have a lack of child care in this area, and we do. So
now, the YMCA currently has child care center, so what is new about this?
Well, first of all, it'll be one floor. It'll be beautiful. Right now, our current facility is a three-story building. So this will be one floor, more opportunities for infant and toddler care, a bigger playground.
So addressing some of those.
Sensory spaces for children, you know, paths and rooms and locations.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, what are you most excited about?
I think I'm most excited. Well, I'm most excited about it being a single floor ADA accessible building. I'm most excited to be able to have children of all abilities to be able to walk through the hallways or stroll through the hallways playing with sensory paths and things like
As are those families with kids with special needs.
Right. Yeah. We'll be able to accommodate more families.
And so this is... The groundbreaking is on Monday, right? Give us all the details on this.
So it's Monday at 10 a.m. Out back on our Lincoln campus.
Okay.
I think some of the things I'm excited about is we're going to be one campus. And we won't have children crossing the busy intersection of Lincoln.
Yeah.
So it will be built. It's a two-phase project. So this is phase one. We knew there was a huge need, so we pushed our early learning center forward. Mm-hmm. Phase two will be the athletic center, the brand new YMCA, which will have state-of-the-art gymnasiums.
That's what I was going to ask about. Kind of lay out this timeline as it exists now. And obviously, you know, things can change. There are a lot of factors that can
absolutely
mean adjustments to this timeline. But as of right now, what is the timeline on this?
The timeline is we'll break ground Monday. Mm-hmm. And it's a 12-year project. So we'll move in within 12 months in a year. And then thereafter, we're going to continue fundraising for phase two, which I consider the athletic center, the brand new YMCA, which has a healthcare partner, which is just going to be a blessing for our community once we make that announcement.
So that is still to come. More details on that. But getting this part is done is the priority. And in 12 months, that's a quick turnaround.
We have a great ACI and RCM have been extremely helpful in just keeping timelines and keeping us
taking our ideas and running with them and making them even better. So,
yeah, state of the art. And you mentioned some of the features that this new early learning center will have. When we say state of the art,
well, so a much larger playground, an infant playground that's separate from the toddler and preschool playground, a sensory room that's in conjunction with a gross motor space so some children can run and play and climb while other children are sort of decompressing in a quiet spot. Mm-hmm. You know, so and then a hallway and I call the center of the building the piazza, like the meeting place for everyone to come together and eat and enjoy each other and family events. The opportunities are endless in this building that we just don't have now, and I'm excited not just for us but for the entire community because it gives us opportunities to do so many things.
Right. Yeah. You can tell that you're excited, ready to get it going, and you know, most importantly, get in the building a year from now. So hopefully everything stays according to that timeline, and we can talk about that here in the not-too-distant future. In the meantime, again, the groundbreaking is Monday. That's at 10 a.m., you said, right?
That is correct.
So circle that on the calendar. It's an exciting time for the YMCA. Also, while we have you here, and we've got a few seconds, you can always join the Y. I mean, all kinds of things going on. We talk about special events, but you always, you know, have plenty of programs and activities and
we have kind of thing, so. Amazing programs. We have anywhere from youth all the way to senior, and we never turn anyone away. It's our open doors scholarship program. So if individuals need help with access, we give scholarships for that. So look that up online if you're looking to join. We do have scholarships to get it affordable for individuals.
Stephanie Parsons, Carrie Redmond from the Findlay YMCA with an update on what's going on here in the month of September. It is a big one. We've got a link up for more information at our webpage, goodmornings.net. Ladies, thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program. Of course, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. And that, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, the NFL season kicking off this weekend, and so does Responsible Gaming Education Month. With Americans expected to wager more money than ever this year, reminder about gambling responsibly. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.